This is the evening edition from Starcom Network News. Our top stories. Barbados records 6 new cases of COVID-19. Another batch of COVID-19 vaccines arrives in the island. A Barbadian policeman charged with burglary. The head of global markets at BTMI resigns. Restaurant operators hoping for a further ease in curfew restrictions, and Trinidad and Tobago Prime Minister tests positive for COVID-19. Good evening. With the details, I'm Wendy Burke.
The evening edition brought to you with the best wishes of the National Insurance Scheme. More than a contribution, it's your lifeline.
National Insurance, that's your lifeline. Pay your contributions by the 54th of the month. If you're self-employed, you should pay too, because in the future it will benefit you. It's more than a contribution, it's your lifeline.
NIS pensioners who wish to have their pensions lodged to a bank account are reminded to attach a copy of the bank account number and name provided on your bank statement or the bank stamp verifying those details to the lodgement form. The information regarding your bank transactions and balance is not required.
Barbados yesterday recorded 6 new cases of COVID-19. The cases were identified from among the 271 tests conducted by the Public Health Laboratory. 20 people also recovered and were released from isolation. There are now 102 patients in the isolation facilities. The island has so far recorded 3,691 confirmed cases and 43 deaths from COVID-19. Barbados has taken delivery of its second set of COVID-19 vaccines. Kezia Innes reports.
The vaccines, which are the first shipment under the Global Vaccine Distribution Initiative, overseen by the World Health Organization, arrived at the Grantley Adams International Airport at 7 a.m. The presentation ceremony, at which the Prime Minister Mia Mottley received the vaccines, was attended by United Nations Resident Coordinator in Barbados and the OECS, Didier Trebek, various foreign diplomats, and individuals from various governmental agencies who play a key role in the vaccine campaign. During the presentation ceremony, Prime Minister Mottley said procuring the vaccines is one major step, but the distribution is even more paramount.
One of the reasons why we were able to share and receive back is because we looked at a coordinated plan of execution and not simply access. It is like understanding the difference between vaccines and vaccinations. Vaccines are essential, but without the vaccination, we have not completed the mission. I today have joined other Caribbean leaders in continuing to reach out to the global community to say that, look, let us be sensible about how we coordinate distribution and match it to capacity to execute.
Minister of Health and Wellness Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Bostick says this tranche of vaccines will enhance the island's fight against COVID-19.
It represents also a significant step forward in our fight against COVID as we pursue the path towards a destination which will include seeing Barbadians being able to return to as close as possible to the quality of life that we are accustomed living and to the livelihoods of persons residing here.
Kezia Innes, Starcom Network News.
Over in Trinidad and Tobago, Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley has tested positive for COVID-19 on the same day that he was to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Sharon Hamilton-Cujo, head of news at her sister company, CCN-TV6, in Trinidad, reports.
Prime Minister Dr. Keith Rowley is in isolation and under medical care, having tested positive for COVID-19. Dr. Rowley was due to get his COVID-19 vaccine live on national television at 2:30 this afternoon. This, of course, will no longer take place. He had been in Tobago for the long Easter holiday weekend and would have taken the jab there. A statement issued by the Office of the Prime Minister at 10:20 this morning said he began experiencing flu-like symptoms on Monday evening and was subsequently tested for the virus. Sharon Hamilton-Cajor reporting from Port of Spain.
Back in Barbados, this country's restaurant operators are hoping for a further easing of the COVID curfew when the current directives expire mid-month. Zari Evelyn of Primo Restaurants tells Starcom Network News that with the current COVID numbers here trending downward, he hopes the curfew that now starts at 9 p.m. will be further rolled back to 11 p.m. He says this would make a big difference as the curfew restrictions have had a significant financial impact.
The latest setback, of course, has been the curfew and having to close up early so staff can get home by 9 o'clock. That has posed a lot of challenges. It certainly has reduced the revenue by at least 60%. So we are, you know, rather hopeful that maybe after the 15th of April, we would see the curfew lifted at least 7 o'clock so that people can come out and have a full dining experience. And that maybe by June or so, depending on how things continue, that we would start seeing a significant enough amount of tourists in the island that we can start back catering to tourists.
President of the Democratic Labour Party, Verla de Pisa, says the Prime Minister's explanation of a Good Friday incident at Deacon's Road is not satisfactory. She told Starcom Network News it was not about who called her or whose call she takes, but a matter about the rule of law and separation of powers.
You cannot make the law and interpret it too. That is to usurp the function of the police and the courts. The action undermined the authority of both. And instead of doubling down and blowing smoke screens, the Prime Minister should humble herself and acknowledge her fault. Don't expect that to happen, nor do I expect the Attorney General to come and say any different. But then, they have both been wrong on the law before, and they're wrong again now.
Meantime, opposition leader Bishop Joseph Atherley says the public needs to hear from the police on the Good Friday matter involving Prime Minister Motley and the owner of a cookshop at Deacon's Road. Speaking to Starcom Network News, he said hearing the side of the lawmen would end all of the speculation as to the way Miss Motley allegedly handled the situation.
And if they in fact did engage in a conversation, either by speaking to the Prime Minister or hearing the voice of the Prime Minister by somebody's phone, then what was the tone, what was the nature of the communication, etc. We don't have that coming from the police, and I think that's the missing element in all of this.
Meantime, Prime Minister Motley, speaking after the airport vaccine presentation, again defended her actions. She described some of the accusations as fake news.
Because I didn't go above anybody's head, and I never spoke to any senior police officer, and that's one of the main reasons why I've spoken. Because the notion that people are going to use fake news to construct a platform for criticism is something to which we've become accustomed. There was no conversation with any senior police officer, no call of anybody. So what is the challenge? Is the challenge I spoke and took a call from a man from Deacon's Farm?
Prime Minister Mayor Motley, a Barbadian police constable, has been released on $30,000 bail after appearing in court charged with burglary. Deroy Holder of Mullins Terrace, St. Peter, is accused of entering the house of Caleb Burnett as a trespasser and stealing more than $30,000 in cash, jewelry, and other property, including a safe and a ring along with two passports. The crime is alleged to have taken place on March 26. As part of the bail conditions, the 40-year-old policeman was ordered to surrender his passport to the court and report to the District E Police Station every Wednesday before 6 p.m. He's scheduled to reappear at the District A Magistrates Court on November 9th. Head of Global Markets at the Barbados Tourism Marketing Incorporated, Petra Roach, is said to be leaving the agency. Well-placed sources tell Starcom Network News that Ms. Roach has resigned and will be taking up a new job. Mrs. Roach is a longtime employee of the National Tourism Marketing Agency, formerly the Barbados Tourism Authority, having distinguished herself as head of the UK office before taking up a similar post in the US and then becoming first acting CEO of the reorganized and renamed agency before assuming her last post. She leaves at a critical time for the Barbados tourism sector, which is reeling from the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Officials in St. Vincent and the Grenadines say they're adopting a wait-and-see position regarding activity at the La Soufriere volcano. Director of the National Emergency Management Organization, Michelle Forbes, told Keith Goddard there were more than 500 earthquakes yesterday, which led to panic in the country. But she sees no need to evacuate just yet.
Our plan is not to evacuate any persons off island at this point, only if it becomes necessary. People panic, people, you know, it's different for you telling persons about the earthquakes to actually feeling them now. It's a difference. So there's some anxiety. Some persons have taken some of their elderly relatives out of the community already. So there's a little bit of panic and a little bit of anxiety because feeling the earthquake and not knowing when it's going to erupt or when an evacuation order is going to be given is a bit of a challenge.
Michelle Forbes of Nemo in St. Vincent. Recapping our top stories, Barbados records 6 new cases of COVID-19. Another batch of COVID-19 vaccines arrives in the island. A Barbadian policeman charged with burglary. The head of global markets at BTMI resigns. Restaurant operators hoping for further ease in curfew restrictions soon. And the Trinidad and Tobago Prime Minister tests positive for COVID-19. That's been the news here from Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. I'm Wendy Burke.
The Evening Edition, brought to you in association with the National Insurance Scheme. More than a contribution, it's your lifeline. Listen to the latest news or catch up on news stories at StarcomNetwork.net. You may also WhatsApp Admi to 246-256-6397 to receive breaking news.